When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And gentlemen, boys and girls, let's keep it going. 2 more hours. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Let's talk some sports. Let's pass the time on this holiday weekend, this Friday night going into Christmas, Hanukkah coming up, time with family and friends and traffic and long lines in the store and opening up gifts and that anxious feeling of what people are going to think when they open up your gifts. I hate that. Anyway. We're talking about everything now. It's wide open for the rest of the show, pretty much. I don't have any more guests. I opened up starting with Christian Walker and how I just did not even flinch when that news came through that he signed with the Astros. I think that was the biggest part. It was the Astros. The Astros don't spend any money. He fell into their lap. I laughed when I saw he only got 3 years, $60 million. I'm like, okay, he wanted to do that. He wanted to be there. He wanted to get this done. Because if that guy waits, the market comes to him where he gets a fourth year. He gets more money, but he wanted to be done. Cool. The Yankees told you last night they were looking for cheaper options. So we hit that conversation. Then we got into the conversation around the J-E-T-S, just end the season, with Zach Rosenblatt, who just wrote the latest article about Madden ratings and, you know, Woody Johnson's kids in the locker room and, you know, the culture that is the Jets. Oh, the pain. What a disaster. And then Art Stapleton joined us at about 9:20 to talk about the G-men, who are not in much better shape, or not in better shape at all, but, you know, could be drafting their quarterback of the future. They're going to go down and face a quarterback that they passed on in last year's draft. They're running out of bodies to even field a team. But on the bright side, you have some young talent on offense looking to stack their stats and build off that. So it's wide open for calls if you want to mix in the conversation with the Mets. I think the only Mets calls that I take are, you know, or that I took tonight, where people jumping in and saying, hey, you said something about Juan Soto? Hey, I heard what you said about Juan Soto. We love him. He's ours. Watch what you say about Juan Soto. 888-808-1019. Jarvis is in Harlem. Jarvis, you're on the Fan.
What's up, Keith? How are you doing?
Good, good. Thanks for calling.
I want to talk about the Mets and, you know, like, all the Mets fans are giddy because they got Juan Soto. They think they're like, they, oh, like, we become the big brothers. Oh, we taking over New York City. They, like, they the, like, they taking over the city. Like, they're the big brothers. Like, I mean, so, I mean, there's no easy path to the NL because you got the Dodgers and the Padres, the Braves, the Phillies, and the, what else, the Milwaukee Brewers. I mean, their rotation. I mean, I don't know that rotation got so many questions about Frankie Montas, Claim Holmes, or what's that, David Peterson, and if they don't even have an ace. I mean, do you know that Sean Manai is going to come back as a Met, as a starting rotation? I mean, I don't care if they good rotation, but you're not going to shut down this Dodgers lineup 1-9. How are you going to beat them? How are you going to get past the Dodgers and the players in the end?
They may never see them. They might not get there to see the Dodgers. They got to get through their own division first. They were a third-place team last year, turned it on in June.
Still the team to beat. Braves still the team to be in that division. So, yeah. You know.
Ronald Acuna Jr. is coming back. Spencer Strider's coming back. Thanks for the call, Jarvis. Yeah, you know, some Yankee fans are going to call and keep the Mets fans in check and say, hey, you know, you got Juan Soto, but, like, Juan Soto is going to hit four times a game. He's going to make plays in the outfield. He's also going to make mistakes in the outfield. That is not enough to overcome Griffin Canning pitching, Clay Holmes trying to pitch. Yeah, you know, all these things are true. I think that the Mets are going to be a good team, though. I think that they just have the right leadership. I've said this a bunch, but, you know, the positive things that I say, they get swept under the rug. I've said that I'm paying attention to what the Mets are doing, from the owner to the president of baseball operations who's in year two, the manager who's in year two, how they were ahead of schedule last year, how they figured so much out, right? Yeah, even though they were the make-it-happen Mets and they needed nine lives, they won. So now they consider themselves winners. Now there is a winning culture there. They talked about their standards and they stood on business, right? They had a magical run. And I think this year you're going to see less of the grimace OMG stuff as Jose Iglesias coming back. I think you're just going to see a good manager, good baseball being played, and a standard that's going to be set. And, like, Yankee fans, don't act like Juan Soto wasn't a, you know, high tide that raised all ships. We heard all of those players talk about watching him, taking batting practice with him, watching how he prepared and his intensity that he brought to every at-bat. So he's bringing that now to the Mets in their clubhouse. Lindor really emerged last year as a captain-type figure, in my opinion, should have won the MVP. And you've got young guys that emerged and showed themselves. Mark Vientos came out of nowhere last year. People were telling me he couldn't hit. Couldn't hit. He was a clutch hitter. Imagine if he got the run from opening day on. Like, Francisco Alvarez had some moments, but he also had some rough goes at it. But that's what happens when you're young. He's going to be there. And I think they're going to lean on some of the young pitching, too. You hear the name Christian Scott and Brandon Sproat a lot. Well, if they don't land enough, you know, small moves, veteran pitching, then those guys are going to get a chance at some point. You can never have enough pitching. And I think they'll get the bullpen together. I think you keep Jose Buto in the bullpen. I think we saw enough from guys like Reed Garrett and Dednell Nunez make you feel good about the bullpen. And obviously Edwin Diaz at the end. So they're going to be a good team. I don't think they're going to be bums. But what I know is this, it is not easy having the target on your back. It is not easy being the, you know, little engine that could, that turns into now, oh, you signed Juan Soto for all that money? You're at the big boy table. The Phillies are going to be looking for revenge. I've said this 100 times already. They were supposed to be in the World Series. In their mind, they were the quote-unquote best team in baseball until about June. They thought that they were going to beat the Mets and go on and face the Dodgers. And they didn't. They're going to, you know, want some revenge in your own division. And when you look at their rotation, Wheeler, Nola, Suarez, the guys that they have, like, and the guys in their lineup that they have, Rob Thompson and those guys, they're just going to run it back. They're going to be good again. They're going to be good again. And then the Braves, they're going to want revenge too, because that doubleheader, Mets fans went in that doubleheader thinking there was no way they exercised their demons down there at Truist Park. And the Braves were banged up, and they'll get healthy, and they'll have some random guys that pop up and pitch and hit that you don't know about, and they'll be the Braves again. So just in your own division, and, you know, don't sleep on the upstart Nationals and the young talent that they have from the Juan Soto trade and other moves that they made. Just in the NL East, there's going to be some hell to pay. I mean, even the Marlins. The Marlins' 26-man roster is not making what Juan Soto is making in a year. Like, those guys, they might have a chip on their shoulder. No, they're not. They're going to get rolled over. But, yeah, just starting the division. Can the Mets win the NL East as constructed? I don't think so. But anything can happen. We don't know. We're so far away from baseball. More moves are going to be made. David Stearns is not going to rest. I always say, somewhere he's working and lurking. He makes these little minor league deals. He brings in Jared Young. We didn't know last year who Tyrone Taylor was going to be. We didn't know last year who Jose Iglesias is going to be. And that's the biggest thing about the Mets ownership and their front office people. You can notice the change from the Wilpons and the different managers they had. And even with Buck Showalter and Billy Epler, they are not passengers that are just sitting in the car letting the car crash. They are actively watching the road and will grab the wheel and keep this thing on a straight and narrow path. If you don't perform, you're gone. If you don't play well, you're gone. And they'll bring somebody in. They'll make a trade. They'll make a signing. They'll elevate a young guy because they know the standard now. There is a standard of excellence now, and they're trying to be perennial postseason contenders. Can they make it to back-to-back postseasons? Find out next time on Dragon Ball Z. Let's go to DJ in East Brunswick on the fan. What's up, DJ?
What's going on, Keith? How are you, brother?
Good, you know, working.
Oh, well, I heard your rap before. I mean, I was waiting for somebody to drop a Don DeMarco.
Appreciate it.
I mean, I called, you know, we you know, I talk to you about the Cowboys all the time. So where do you think we're at?
We're cooked, but we might be able to draft Ashton Jeanty. We're cooked.
No, I like that move. I love it. But, like, my thought is, like, 2 or 3 years down the line, I want Archie Manning.
Everybody wants Archie Manning. That's another thing I laugh at the Giants fans that call up and say, what about one more year in tank for Archie Manning? What if Archie stays the rest of his time? He's getting good money in Texas. He seems to like his teammates and have a good time. And also, there's going to be a lot of bum-ass teams vying for his services. Before you know it, there's going to be a lot of teams, like, looking for Archie Manning.
Yeah, of course, Keith. We know, you know, like, you know, your fellow coworkers, you know, Sean, you know, Loogie. Yeah, they want him. But by the time Dak Prescott's contract is up, Archie Manning is available for a draft.
Yeah, I was just about to say, you just made Dak Prescott the highest paid quarterback in the league. He's hurt again, but he's got to come back. I don't know, yo.
I mean, come on, Keith. You know how I felt about that. I didn't want him for a bag of potato chips.
It was stupid. You know what? Because they should have just tested it and said, nah, play on this contract, and look how the year went. Yeah. If he gets hurt
exactly. And
he doesn't have this contract and you have this top pick, you have some options now. You could trade up. Jerry Jones is stuck on stupid.
Me and you both know Jerry Jones is dead above the neck. We know. He is. Like, look, I love him because he's a Cowboys owner and we have that many championships. But he is dead above the neck. And so is his kids. So nothing's going to get Jones, better from here.
Yeah, as much as we talk about Woody Johnson and that operation, did you see the trailer for the Dallas Cowboys Netflix special that's coming out next?
Oh, no. Oh, please.
Yeah, I mean, just watch it, and it's going to show you that, like, their Super Bowl is being the, you know, the highest rated, the most wealthiest franchise in sports. And they're all about the clicks and the attention or whatever.
I mean, come on, Keith. Our Super Bowl every year is playing the Giants on primetime twice a year.
Yeah, and trying to get a Thanksgiving win. Yeah.
I know this.
Yeah,
and we love to win that.
I call them America's team to laugh at. They'll be on Sunday Night Football this Sunday, mm-hmm. getting absolutely abused by Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans and the Buccaneers.
Hey, Keith, not be a problem like that.
Thanks for the call, DJ. Sorry for the folks on hold. Sometimes you guys get too comfortable. You start talking like it's just me and you. Mad people can hear this. Thousands of people can hear this. All right. The one thing I'll add to the Dallas Cowboys conversation is, you know, as dumb as Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones have been with their contracts and how late they signed players and their trades and stupid moves, you know, they always draft well. They got so lucky to get a CeeDee Lamb. They got so lucky to get a Micah Parsons. And now Micah Parsons just had an interview where he said something in the vein of like a Jalen Brunson, the exact opposite of a Juan Soto. He's talking about his next contract, right? He says he doesn't necessarily need to be the highest paid defensive player in the league or in Dallas. He said at that point, I don't think there's a big difference between $30 and $40 million. Yes, there is. Yeah. There's not a big difference between $30 and $40, but $30 million and $40 million, $10 million is a big difference, Micah. He says, you see a lot of times, you know, the highest paid player, then we say they don't have weapons around them. I'd rather just be in the best situation. My agent might be mad at me, but like this is what he wants. He wants to build a champion. This guy loves football. He wants to win. So he's literally giving Jerry Jones a get-out-of-jail-free card. Jerry Jones, you paid all these other guys. You just paid CeeDee Lamb. You just paid Dak Prescott. I'll take a discount. I'll take a team-friendly deal. I'll take a hometown discount. What a guy. 888-808-1017. 1019. Let's go to Haley in Freehold, New Jersey. Haley, you got it next.
I got it. What's up, man?
You know, watching this Notre Dame game, they're probably going to punch it in again. They're at like the 33-yard line looking to score.
Right, right. Well, I just want to say, I want to first off start by saying I am a diehard Eagles fan.
Boo! How'd you get through? Connor, screen these calls.
But I like to make a comment on some New York teams when I get a chance. So my prediction here is that the Giants are going to end up winning probably maybe their next three games.
No
we'll
way.
See.
Shot.
I'm going to tell you why. You got a rookie quarterback coming up with the Falcons. You never know what you're going to get from the Colts, and I feel like the Eagles are going to bench their starters.
Yeah, and Kenny Pickett is going to go to work. Kenny Pickett is going to go to work and beat the Giants.
He might as well.
There's no way. The Giants are going to lose the rest of these games. Michael Penix Jr. is nice. He's definitely better than Kirk Cousins. And Anthony Richardson, Jonathan Taylor being from Jersey, he's going to come to MetLife and turn up. I don't see any way that the Giants win a game. But for your Eagles, I've been literally praying every night that somebody knocks them off. I can't do it. I can't see another Eagles Super Bowl. Somebody from the NFC North, whether it's the Vikings, the Packers, the Lions, Lord, please, somebody's got to knock off
the
Eagles.
You know what? You can't see it, but us Birds fans, we can. And you know what? For the Giants, it's just destiny that they slide down.
No, I got to let you go, Haley. Enjoy the holiday. Enjoy your night. These Eagles fans are getting obnoxious, bro. I can't stand the song that they sing. They're Kelly Green jerseys, even Saquon. I'm like, why is Saquon on the Eagles? Why would you add that Pete? It makes me mad at the Giants. They have everything. They have a ridiculous offensive line. They have a number one wide receiver who, like, if he complains, they can just make a game plan against the Steelers to feed him the ball. Oh, Devontae Smith comes back healthy. They've got him too. Jalen Hurts. Oh, that's what y'all wanted to see. I could throw the ball. Yeah, they don't have to throw the ball because you can hand it to Saquon. They don't have to throw the ball because Saquon's going to get tackled at the one-yard line. And they're going to do the tush push. I'm over it. Jason Kelce retires. They get better. How? They've got all of these Georgia Bulldogs on their team. How? Howie Roseman, like I thought Nick Sirianni and these guys, they were on a slide last year. Thought they were going to fire that guy. And here we got to deal with the Eagles again. Someone must stop them. Frank is in White Plains, New York. Frank, you're on the Fan.
Thank you very much for taking my call. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas.
I'm a diehard Giant fan. I'm a Eagles hater, you know that. But anyway, here's the thing. I'm listening to all days. I'm a retired guy. I listen to FAN and, oh, they should fire the coach and this and that. You know something, when you look, I'm not defending the coach anyhow, but, you know, when you look at it, you know whose fault is? It's owner's fault. Honest, he's a good owner. I like the owner. Don't get me wrong. But he's the one who gave 3 years contract to Daniel Jones. We know all the time. One good season he has for 6 years that he's been here.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, I'm listening to the radio station. Who are they going to draft now? There is no even good draft this year. You know that?
No, there's two good quarterbacks at the top of the draft that I think they're going to get one or the other, and that's not a bad position
to
be in.
Well, I hope they're going to lose the rest of the games because I know.
They will.
Anyway, what's the point for them to win in now anyhow? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think that they have enough healthy, talented players to win. Thanks for the call, Frank. This is not a good draft. What are you talking about? This is a draft where there are not that many good quarterbacks, but they are going to be in striking distance to get one of the top two. Who, like, if you've watched these guys, like Shador Sanders has been groomed to be a pro quarterback by his dad, who is a Hall of Famer. He was working out with Tom Brady when he was in high school. The kid is so polished, throws such a pretty football. Like he's NFL ready. He could have came out in the draft last year. Cam Ward is a freak of a thrower of the ball. His arm talent, the kid is so confident in his arm. He just avoids a rusher, backpedals a little bit, slings the ball into the end zone. Brian Daboll can work with both of them. I've seen Brian Daboll turn Tommy DeVito into a quarterback that could win in the NFL. I've seen him turn Tyrod Taylor into a quarterback having 300-yard games. I've seen him get the best out of Daniel Jones. draft the quarterback. Do everything you can to shore up this offensive line. You got Malik Nabers. You got a running back. Like, the offense can change that quick. I would probably fire Shane Bowen. I don't think that's talked about enough. How, like, we give Brian Daboll and Shane credit for what they did in year one. Who was the defensive coordinator in year one? Don Wink Martindale. He ain't there. He's gone. They ran him out. You need an actual defensive coordinator that knows how to work with the pieces that you have on defense. I think that the Giants, once they get the quarterback, they make a couple other, you know, good picks in the draft to fill some holes. They will have a young, hungry team that I think will be somewhat competitive. I don't know how many games they'll win, but they'll be more competitive than this team they have. 888-808-1019. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish are about to punch it in. It's 17-3. They're about to go up 24-3. I've got plenty of time to take calls on the Jets, on the Giants, on the Yanks, on the Mets. Keith McPherson on the Fan. BRB. Breaking news. Breaking news. In the Yankee universe, Brian Cashman is still working on Friday night after 10 p.m. on the holiday. Just so some of you spoiled crybaby-ass Yankee fans can go to sleep tonight and chill out. Keith McPherson on the Fan. It was just reported by Joel Sherman and John Heyman that Yankees backup catcher Jose Trevino was traded to the Cincinnati Reds for Fernando Cruz and Alex Jackson. In cash, we trust to build a bullpen. That's a must. Standard. Fret not. You want swing and miss? You got it. People are tweeting me different numbers and stuff. I'm looking these guys up. They're saying Fernando Cruz had 109 Ks in 66 innings last year. So you wanted to cry all day about them not spending. I tried to tell you when I opened up this show, the Yankees not spending all that money for Juan Soto, you know who slept good that night? Hal slept good because he was like, I'm not beat for all this. I'm out. And Cash was sitting there at the winter meetings like, this hotel bed is comfy. I get to do me. I can do what I want to do without that hanging over me. Let's wheel and deal. I have a World Series team that I got to make better. I have a bullpen that I got to repair. You just traded a backup catcher for two arms. 888-808-1019. Now let me talk about Trevi. Jose Trevino, I literally love that guy. One, because he grew up in Texas wanting to be a Yankees fan. He let us know how his dad trained him in the backyard and they would pretend that they were in Yankee Stadium. It was the bottom of the ninth and he had to get the game-winning hit. And then he came to Yankee Stadium and he did that a couple times. And then I got to meet the guy. Shout out to Frank Luna. You know, shout out to Outpost, Jersey Shore. He came to a gym about a 10-minute walk from the apartment complex that I grew up. And he signed autographs for fans. And he was so down to earth. He was so humble. He stated, you wouldn't even know he was a Major League Baseball player. He's also a Dallas Cowboys fan, so we had conversations about that. He told me how he went down to Philadelphia with Boone to see the Cowboys versus Eagles. He told me some other stuff off the record. And, you know, even when I filled in for Susan Waldman and I got to go down on the field and my head was spinning and I just couldn't get over the vantage point of coming up from the visitor's dugout, seeing Yankee Stadium like that. When I got over there and I had to pick Susan's star of the game, I picked Trevi. He homered that game, and he also caught the game that Luis Gil broke El Duque's record for 14 Ks as a rookie. And so I asked him about it, and he was awesome. And you know what? Right after he joked, he showed me his notebook, and I had heard already about how well he prepared for games. This guy was carrying a Dallas Cowboys notebook in the Yankees clubhouse, in the Yankees dugout. Jose Trevino, go be great. God bless you, your wife, your sons, your family, your dad looking down from up and up above. I'm so happy that you got to live your dream out of being a New York Yankee. You got to go to a World Series. You got to go to the postseason. And we appreciate you, man. We're able to flip you into two arms for this Yankees bullpen. Yankee fans, call up and react to that. I do not care about Christian Walker going to the Astros for $60 million. Brian Cashman is still working. He's still making moves on the holiday. He could have shut down. I was telling you it's shutdown time two nights ago. Hey, it's shutdown time. Get your last deals in. Okay, they got Griffin Canning done. Okay, Christian Watson done for the Astros. And the Yankees make a trade here Friday night after 10 p.m. to send a backup catcher. All right, Jose Trevino became the backup catcher as Austin Wells emerged. And they just turned him into two bullpen arms, and we'll see what those guys turn into. It's a win, if you ask me. Again, addition by subtraction. Not saying, you know, anything against Trevino, who we even had to pinch hit in the World Series because the bench was, I bet you they fixed that bench. But, like, you're able to trade Caleb Durbin and Nestor Cortez for Devin Williams. You're able to trade Cody Poteet for Cody Bellinger.
Cashman's the man.
You're able to trade Jose Trevino for two bullpen arms. One guy that had 109 strikeouts in 66 innings. The other guy I'm not really reading so much great stuff about. But it does not matter. It does not matter. There's value there. There's value there. More that can help this team. I'm cool with it. 888-808-1019. We'll get back to the phone, back to your calls. I'm sure we'll get some reactions from Yankees fans. But let's see what you guys are talking about. My guy Moose in Jamaica, thanks for holding. You got it.
Your Keith was good. What it do, for sure. So, yeah, I was reading something else about how the Blue Jays might sign Bregman, and because they traded for Jimenez, have him play third, Clement play second, and they had that guy they brought up since the end of 2023 that played a full season last year that had 20 bombs and 80 ribbies and batted like 260. Have him replace Vladimir.
Where are you getting this info from?
New York Times.
Okay.
There was an article that came out how they may trade Bichette, move on from Vladdy, and like they're going to just move past the whole generation upon generation of
the Suns,
former Major League All-Stars to whatever they have in their farm system. Yeah.
Vladdy doesn't want to stay there. He's turned down money, supposedly. Bichette, I mean, he had a down year. I don't think that they're willing to send guys to the Yankees in their division, though.
Well, I don't know, but I'm just wondering because, like, the article kind of said, alert, Yankees are in on everything considering.
Yeah, and you know what? The Yankees, if you're writing an article and you want clicks and you want attention, the size of the Yankee fan base and how we react to everything, you always got to include the Yankees. Moose, thanks for the call. 888-808-1019. I don't know what to believe. I always say, believe half of what you see and none of what you hear. I mean, on Twitter, shout out to Hubs from Barstool. I don't know if he's breaking news or if he's got a tip or a source, but he says, I believe we'll be hearing the Goldschmidt deal shortly. I would love that. I would love to be on air for Paul Goldschmidt to become a Yankee because I've been talking about him all week. I moved on from Christian Walker earlier this week. I moved on from any of the other options, really, like a Pete Alonso or, you know, once they got Belly and then once Hot Stove told us that they're looking for a less expensive option and then we heard about Judge working out with Goldie, I'm like, there it is. So can we get that news next? Yeah, it's official. The Yankees tweeted it out. The New York Yankees today announced that they have acquired right-handed pitcher Fernando Cruz and catcher Alex Jackson from the Cincinnati Reds in exchange for Jose Trevino. Okay, so it's a catcher. The other guy, I thought these were two arms. Fernando Cruz is the arm. Alex Jackson, I'm seeing people saying, no, I don't know about Alex Jackson. Okay, if he's a backup catcher, whatever. Let's get some more intel on this. I will start looking into some more things as we take your calls. Andrew is in Portland, Oregon. Andrew, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how's it going, man? Thanks for taking my call. Merry Christmas to you guys.
Merry Christmas. Thanks for calling, you know, looking up Cruz and Jackson from the Reds and seeing what I can find out about these guys.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. I was actually going to call you and ask you about your Devils there and talk a little puck with you, you know, but before I do, you know, right there talking about Jose Trevino, man, that's a really savvy move by Cashman, and it just shows that the Yankees are definitely trying to upgrade this roster. But, you know, talk about an all-time Yankee in Jose Trevino, you know, just like in hockey, you know, the most popular player on the team is the backup goalie. Well, you know, Yankees have a history of always having great catchers, but Jose Trevino, man, he was such a great Yankee, and it's going to be sad to see him go. You know, that day, that moment when he had the walk-off hit a couple of years ago on the day of his father, You know, I think he hit a home run in that game too. You know, just showing you how the baseball gods can
be. He had a knack for that. His father's passing, yeah. Father's Day, his son's mm-hmm. birthday. He always came to play on those special days.
Yeah, he was a I think he was even an all-star for the Yankees a couple of years ago, and he won the platinum glove, lights out defensive catcher, and then you know, Higashioka has a season with the Yankees. He gets a contract, and now Austin Wells comes in. You never heard a peep. He was a consummate professional. You know, New York over there is going to find anything, and you never heard a peep of Jose Trevino having a problem being the backup catcher, even after having that platinum glove season with the Yankees. He finally has a breakout. You know, he was a great Yankee. It's going to be sad to see him go, but it's awesome to see the Yankees make moves. And, you know, before I ask you about Luke Hughes and the Devils there, real quick about the Yankees, you know, you're talking about Paulie Goldschmidt. You know, maybe it's a trade for another veteran player, you know, someone from the Miami Marlins or the Cleveland Guardians. You know, do you think that if the Yankees end up signing, Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt, those are future Hall of Famers, but those are players who are 37, 38 years old. Carlos Santana is a great switch hitter, and I would love to see the Yankees pick up Santana on a one-year deal, but those are older ball players who are pushing 37, 38, 39 years old, and we just saw that at first base with Anthony Rizzo. I love Rizzo, great, great veteran player, but come the dog days and come October, do we want to see an older player, you know, maybe have injuries? And I don't necessarily want to predict anything negative. I guess what I'm asking is
different body types. And also there, I don't think they're going to be handed the everyday job. There's going to be a platoon situation here. Belly will play some first base probably. And they're not going to just act like Ben Rice didn't come up here last year and hit homers. If that kid gets hot in the minors, like they, you know, I think they need to sign one of these guys, and we know their age. They're going to be cost effective. They're not going to cost picks, but they're also not going to be asked to play 162 games.
Yeah, fair enough. And I that's actually what I was trying to ask you about is the younger talent that the Yankees actually have here now. There's a realistic possibility that a player like Oswaldo Cabrera is going to have to put, you know, or Oswald Peraza, a younger player, you know, has a serious chance of having to take up a lot of games and a lot of innings on the infield. If the Yankees get Goldschmidt, there might be a lesser chance that they sign a third baseman or a second baseman. So do we get to see a full season, you know, 120, 130 games of Oswaldo Cabrera? I think that would be awesome. You know, is there a young Yankee that you think could have a breakout, you know, Ben Rice, or who do you like?
Thanks for the call, Andrew. I won't say, like, it's not a matter who I like. I like winning. I want them to win as a team. There's not one player that, like, I'm rooting for. Oswaldo is a great guy as well. I've had him on the show. I root for him. But I always say about Oswaldo, they never loved him. If you remember correctly, last year, he was going to be the starting third baseman going into opening day. They traded for John Birdie when DJ got hurt because they never loved him. They don't have confidence in his bat. For a while, they didn't know which side of the plate he was going to hit from. Like, they, you know. I mean, he had a mistake in the World Series. I don't think that these New York Yankees are looking at Oswaldo Cabrera as an everyday starter and playing X amount of games. He's a utility guy. He's a guy that can go in and play four different positions. I don't think they're looking to hand him the job. But they do have DJ LeMahieu, which I think they should be done with DJ, but they're going to give the guy a look, what the back of his baseball card says, if he's healthy, what he could potentially be for the return on investment. They're going to give him a look. He can play third base. Cabrera can play third base. I don't know what the deal is with Peraza, who literally started for the Yankees in the ALCS in 2022. Yorbit Vivas came up for a day last year. I don't know what's up with him. Like, they do have some internal options that they could go with to get to at least the trade deadline. I don't know if they're going to try and solve every piece of the puzzle in the winter, because they will weigh, you know, guys that they already have under contract that'll be in camp. Let's see. 888-808-1019. We got to go to break, but... Yeah, Yankees Videos writes up that Fernando Cruz pitched three seasons for Cincinnati, appearing in 141 games with a 4.52 ERA. Now, Alex Jackson, the catcher, has played five seasons with the Braves, Marlins, Brewers, and the Rays. And now that I see his picture, I think I've seen this guy before. 888-808-1019. Call up. We'll talk all about it. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Okay, quickly here, before we get to the 11 o'clock break and update. Time is flying. 4 hours down, 1 more hour to go. Casamigos' big shot of the night coming up. And more of your calls, more of your thoughts, more of your takes. Any topic you want to talk about. Sports, really. But Jack Curry just did some reporting on your newest Yankees, as I'm also doing some digging, trying to figure out who these guys even are. You know, and I don't pretend to know everybody in Major League Baseball. I'm not that much of a nerd. Like, I got other things to do for real. But Jack Curry just put out a couple things that I think we've, you know, now seen. Let me pull up Jack's Twitter. And he's on it quick. And now people are pulling up highlights and whatnot. Fernando Cruz was 3-8 with a 4.86 ERA in 69 games for the Reds. He had 109 strikeouts and 36 walks and 66 and two-thirds innings pitched. He threw a splitter more than 40% of the time, and batters hit 116 versus it. Also throws a four-seam fastball and a cutter. That's got Matt Blake and Matt Blake's lab written all over it. He also adds that Alex Jackson hit 122 with three homers in 58 games with the Rays. So, I don't know, maybe he's more of just a technician behind the plate. Not much of a hitter, not much of a bat, and that's not much of a problem. You know, I just looked up Jose Trevino's contract. His contract was for $3.6 million. I don't know what these guys are making. I got to look up their contracts next. But maybe this was a money move, and there's another move potentially coming. Yeah, I mean, Fernando Cruz signed a one-year $720 million contract with the Cincinnati Reds. I can't imagine Alex Jackson's contract is anything crazy. Oh, my goodness. Alex Jackson signed a one-year $740,000 contract. Cashman is out there finessing. Yeah. So you add those guys together, they're not even making half of what Trevino is making. That's like $1.4 million. $3.6 million minus $1.4 million. Cashman just saved $2.2 million. That can go to Paul Goldschmidt.
Cashman's a man.
Yo, they're about to trade Stroman next. They're about to get Stroman's 18 mil off the books, and then that drop is going to be even better. Cashman's the man. 888-808-1019. Charlie's in Queens. Charlie, you're on the Fan.
Hey, how you doing, Keith? Happy holiday.
Happy holiday. Thanks for calling.
Okay, first, as a Yankee fan, I love what he's doing. I love the cash man. He's doing what the cash man can, making little things into better things for the future. About our friend Mr. Torres, sorry to see you go, but hey, time to go, bro.
Yup. Adios. Thanks. I mean, thanks for the memories.
And the only one I feel sorry for is our brother in the Bleacher Creatures who always yells out, I love you, whenever they go with Torres.
Jaden.
Other than that, I don't feel sorry for the guy.
Jaden will be all right.
And then talking about the Giants, let's just tank it. And if we can get a deal with the Raiders, like an agreement on both sides, like or whoever gets that first or second choice, I want us to get the first choice, but wherever it falls. Mm-hmm. That we get Camp. I want to get Camp. I like the subtle guy who doesn't want the spotlight that much, who just wants to do his job. Nothing against Sanders. I think he's a great player, but he's more Vegas. I want Camp for New York.
Good call, Charlie. Thanks for the call. Strength of schedule. I think that's going to be the deciding factor if both teams lose out and have the same records. And maybe you don't get Shedeur Sanders. Maybe the Raiders take him and you just naturally get Cam Ward. I think either one are good starting points for the next Giants draft. Get a young quarterback that you can mold. When you see these young quarterbacks coming into the NFL, they're ready to play. Because more than ever, these guys have quarterback coaches. More than ever, these guys go to these Elite 11 camps. More than ever, these guys are studying film and they're polished and they're ready to play. The biggest adjustment is the speed of the game, processing information, and how fast the game moves, but that is coaching, right? There's a reason why Bo Nix is successful with Sean Payton. We're about to see how successful Michael Penix Jr. is with Raheem Morris and what he learned from Kirk Cousins. All right, here we go. 11 o'clock hour coming up. We'll take a break. Peter Schwartz will hit you with the update. I'll give you my Casamigos big shot of the night, and then we will take your calls until 12. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'm coming back right after this.